Be seated. Let's continue to the book of Jeremiah. Now we come back to the teaching material, huh? Number B, judgment of obscene religion, chapter 7 to chapter 8, verse 3. Number one, Judah defiled the temple which bear the Lord's name. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 7. In chapter 7, there are two verses talk about the name of the Lord. First one is chapter 7, verse 8 to verse 10. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? Verse 10. And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, are you delivered to do all this abomination? And verse 8 to verse 9, we look into the Israelite. They come and stand before me referring to God. Where? In this house. Which house? Which called by my name. Right. And this kind of worship actually is a abomination. So worship is supposed to a source of blessing. Just like your father, you try to be close to your father because your father are very good. When you close to your father, then your father will be very pleased and will support you with whatever you need, your tuition, your this and that, new car and this and that, right? It's supposed to be good. Worshiping God is supposed to be good. But it turned out worshiping God become an abomination. That means it's offending God. It's not good. How come? It has something to do with the way they live their life. Verse 8. How many behavior God doesn't like? You trust in lying words, lying, which does not profit. Verse 9, you steal, you murder, you commit adultery, you swear falsely, you burn incense to the idol, you walk after other gods. Totally, there are seven unrighteous behavior. So they forget the God in the temple which called by his name. And this God is a holy God. So after you worship so many idols, 1, 2, 3, 4, worship idol, you already forget the true God is so different from the other idol. When you worship the other idol, regardless you are adulterer, regardless you are liar, regardless you are murderer, regardless what kind of person you are, when you worship the idol, you don't have to repent. Have you ever seen anybody repent worshiping an idol? No. Worshiping the idol, you don't need to repent because idol was set up by yourself, sometimes at home, right? So if the idol set up by yourself, why should you repent, right? If you idol want to punish man, just throw it away in the trash can. You put on another idol, right? Because you set up the idol. You are the master of the idol. And then if we worship the idol in the idol temple, you don't have to repent too. How come? Because you give the money, just like give a bribe, right? If idol doesn't like, I give a 10,000. It still don't like 100,000, right? So idol receive bribe. You can silence idol, something like that. So they worship a lot of different idol. And then when they come to worship the true God, in their mind, they already don't have that capability to differentiate. This one is different, oh, this one is different. They just use the same attitude to worship the true God, and it become an abomination. Abomination is really is a very serious sin. Oh, how come? You say this is the temple called by the name of God, right? In the verse 10. Called by my name. My name means which name? My name must have a name. My name, the name is not my name. Right? What is the name of my name? My name is God's name, right? What is God's name? What is God's name? In the Old Testament, right, people are calling so-called Yahweh, right? YHWH. Can anybody pronounce? Raise your hand. YHWH. Anybody can pronounce it? Raise your hand. YHWH. You cannot pronounce it, right? Because you know vowel. Oh, if you can pronounce it, you are very talented. Without vowel, you can pronounce it, right? YHWH. So in the Old Testament, what's God's name? YHWH. You cannot pronounce it. But in New Testament, what was God's name? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the name of Father, is the name of Son. Jesus Christ. And then you look into the way we call our church. It's so meaningful. How come Baptist Church called Baptist Church? How come? Because of baptism, right? They call Baptist Church. And ironically, Baptist Church, they call Baptist Church, but they don't believe baptism has a function to wash away your sin. And how come the Seventh-day Adventist? Why? Because they keep the seventh day, right? Sabbath. But ironically, Seventh-day Adventists don't eat pork. That's considered unclean. They still follow clean and unclean in the Old Testament, right? Okay, how come the church called Pentecostal Church? How come? Because they emphasize Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit come down. But a lot of Pentecostal church, they so-called the third wave or the new Pentecostal movement, when the pastor lay hand on them, and the way they lay hand quite strange, only one finger point at you and you fall down. So powerful, you fall down, right? And lose the conscience and sleep for a while. So if anybody have insomnia, just go there and then you sleep for a while. And sometimes when the pastor lay hand on somebody, some of them will cry And they say, oh, this is a holy cry because you have sinned. And somebody were laughing. In Toronto church, there was a pastor, they had on somebody, they were laugh 2 hours. Do you want it? Non-stop, laugh 2 hours. Oh, I keep on saying, Lord, enough, still laughing. Enough, still laughing, right? You cannot control yourself. And we know from our experience, that's not Holy Spirit. Oh, but they call their church Pentecostal church. Oh, and we look into True Jesus Church, we emphasize baptism, but we don't call Baptist church. We emphasize Sabbath, we don't call Seventh-day Adventist. We emphasize Holy Spirit, we don't call ourselves Pentecostal church. We call ourselves what? True Jesus Church. Oh, the church is the body of Christ, right? Look, every one of you is a nameplate, right? Look into it, is the name the same with your name? Yes, of course, the same with your name. That's why to identify you, right? Oh, so this name tag to identify you. Now, the church is the body of Christ. So the church must have the name of God, and the name of God is Jesus. So which name is the most meaningful name among all the Christian churches? Of course, the True Jesus Church is the most meaningful name, right? Because the church belongs to him, and we put his name. What's wrong with that? All right. And true, we worship the true God. What's wrong with that? How come you look at True Jesus Church if you're so envy or jealous or hate? All right, something like mixed feeling. So the church must have the name of God. And some of the church, Lutheran church, they use the founder, religious reformations. The founder. And some of the church, they use their location or their doctrine or their founder or whatever they like. So the only our church, the name is True Jesus Church. This is the temple of God, carry the name of God. But don't take it lightly. This are not only in name, this is True Jesus Church, but in essence, True Jesus Church is the throne of God. God is here. So when we come to worship the God in the church, the true worshiper must go through repentance. Do you recall that in the book of Acts, there was a person died in the temple, in the church? Who? In the book of Acts. Do you know? Ananias, yeah. So we can be famous in either way. All right. Yeah. Ananias was very famous. Everybody know them. Right. Yeah. But that kind of famous is not good at all. All right. How come Ananias died? They cheat the Holy Spirit, right? And die in the chapel. And the wife waiting, how come my husband don't come back to have lunch? And the wife come to the church looking for husband. And the wife died there. So the youth carry the husband, bury after that, and come back. Hey, the wife already died, and carry and bury the second one. Can you imagine if the church two person die here? Next time before you come into the church, you not pray a lot. Sitting in the car, God forgive me. This wrong and that wrong, I'm wrong, totally wrong. You are right. Something like that. If you don't repent, probably the third one will become you, right? Or become me. So church is a place who carries the name of God. It's not only superficial, it carries the name. God is really here. Really here. So when they come to worship God, commit a lot of sin, including worship idol, and they just had no repentance and come. And then we are asked a question, and how come these kind of things never happen again in our church? Right? It happened in Apostolic Church, how come never happened in our church? It happened, but not so often, because God is a God merciful. God wants people to repent and to be saved. It's quite often, in in one of the SSC. And one of the members lose money. SSC, oh, lose the money. Oh, not in the United States, so you don't have to guess Garden Grove or Elizabeth, so not in the United States. Oh. And during the time of SSC, somebody lose the money, and you pray, can God work in that kind of occasion? Of course not, because sinner was there. Oh. So there's no way, what can we do? So the counselor announced, if everybody wrongly take your purse wrongly, please put it back. But 2 days, 2nd day, nobody put the money back. And everybody pray a lot, God, how can we resolve this issue? And in one of the prayer occasion, and one of the brother, after the minister ring the bell, and he was unable to stop, and all the hands just grew together and kneeled down there and cannot move. And that full-time minister saw, no, he is the one who steal the money. But in order not to embarrass him, just everybody go out to relax and bring him to the room and ask him, he say, okay, I am the one. But he is not a member, he's a true seeker. But if you are a true seeker here, don't feel offended. It's not you, it's happening there. So in our church, really, if God really working in the church, anybody who dare to do some offense, sometimes the judgment will come in right away in there. So in the church, how come a lot of times it's never happened? There's another reason. You know the Bible talk about, Matthew chapter 13 talk about wheat and what that means? Tares, right? Wheat and tares, well, remain in the same field. Wheat is belong to God. Tares belong to Satan and remain in the same field. Why? How come? Because if you pull the wheat, the tares will be pulled out together. So that remain in the same field. But in the second coming of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is going to separate. So can all the TJC members be saved? No, according to the parable in Matthew chapter 13. If we are the wheat, we can be saved. If we belong to the category of tar, in the second coming, you will be separate. Even the same family, can all the family members all be saved? No. If we are the wheat, we can be saved. If I'm the tar, I cannot be saved. And sometimes, if the member become a yeast, then the church have to take action. What the yeast means? If you put a little bit yeast into a bowl of flour, and what is going to happen? A wheat. The second morning, you can see, right. It become a big lump of the flour. The yeast will cause the whole church become corrupted, and then the church will take action to remove the yeast. Come back to Jeremiah chapter 7. A lot of people commit sin, and they still worship God in the temple, and they commit the sin of abomination. And so that was the reason God wanted to move them into captivity, because they don't fear God. So this is the first thing, talk about the way they worship God, really offend God. The second place, talk about the temple of God in chapter 7, Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's come back. Chapter 7, chapter 7, verse 29 and 30. Now he's talking about even more worse. Verse 30. For the children of Judah has done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name, especially, they have set their abomination in the house. Which house? The house called by my name, to pollute it. What did they do? 31. They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughter in the fire, which they did not command, nor did they come into my heart. So in the temple of God, they worship, they have done some abomination, and they burn their children and to offer as a sacrifice. So their offering actually is terribly wrong, and which is really offend God. Now in the book of Ezekiel, talk about something abomination happened in the temple. Look into Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass the sixth year in the sixth month on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in the house with the elder of Judah sitting before me, and then the hand of the Lord fall upon me there. And then I look, and there was a likeness like the appearance of the fire from appearance of his waist and downwards, right? Here say, while the Ezekiel sit together with the elder, the hand of the Lord upon me. Another translation, the Spirit of the Lord upon me. And it's the same thing. When the Spirit of the Lord upon a person, that means the hand of the Lord upon a person. And then when the Spirit of the Lord upon a person, then Ezekiel start to saw a vision. And then what did Ezekiel see? Then we look into verse 3. And then he stretched out the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hair, and the Spirit deepened up and between earth and heaven, and brought me to the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, and which provoked to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, like the vision I saw in the plain. So when the Spirit of the Lord come to him, and he start to see a vision. And what vision? He see the people worship the idol in the temple of God that really was an abomination, offending God. A temple of God supposed to worship God, but they worship idol in the temple of God. And that temple of God today is the church. So we come to the church to worship God, the only one God. The name which hang on the church is Jesus Christ. If we come to the church, worship the idol, and that is the abomination against God. So only the Spirit of God come to us, then we will have the spiritual eyesight to look into it and to find out that we have done actually is worshiping the idol is something sin against God. And what is the idol in the church? That what we really have to think about, right? If we look into 1 Corinthians, right, probably we study it. The church say, some members say, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollo, I belong to Peter, right? How come? Because they already idolize the worker of God. Now, in order that God's work can be accomplished, God will give the gift and power to his worker. All right? If no gift and no power, the worker cannot accomplish anything. Because we are all human beings. We can bring the people to the church. But can you convert that person? It's No, of course no. The person's heart, who can change it? Even your parents cannot change you, right? Who can change your heart? Nobody can change your heart except God himself and you yourself. Oh. So when the church seeker come to the church, God have to give the worker a certain degree of power and gift. Oh, so through the sermon, through the personal conversation, there is a power exercise in the heart of the truth seeker. So the difficulty can be removed and they can be converted to Christ. But the worker itself is only an instrument. A worker doesn't represent God himself. God is God. Worker is human being. We have to worship God, but we should not worship the worker, the human being. But human weakness is always try to worship somebody who has done great things, somebody very outstanding. When Peter, in the book of Acts, talk about Peter, right? He was able to use the name of Jesus Christ and to make a person who paralyzed the whole life before the beauty of gate to start to stand up to walk. Everybody look at Peter. Ooh. These features of men today, how come transform so much, right? And look at him. This is so unusual thing happened. And Peter was very aware. People look at him with a very admired eyesight. And Peter say, why do you look at me? Do you think my own godliness, my own power make the person to walk? Of course not. The person walk is because the name of Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with me. I am only a vessel. No. Also, in the church, we should not emphasize any person. Oh, because of this person pray a lot. Oh, because of this person has a lot of love. So and so believe. If we say so, it seems reasonable, but it's unreasonable. How come? The person believe is because God is working. God is working through somebody. Or it's not because of somebody's effort, so the person converted. Even the same with Paul, right? When Paul had great, God walked through him a great power, cast out the Satan, healed the sickness, and that kind of power is so huge, right? Even the shadow covered somebody's sickness was cured. So powerful, right? Had fever and Paul or Peter walked through that, always had to cover and it recovered. So powerful, right? Also, they feel that, oh, God is here. So they brought the oxen and tried to over-sacrifice to Paul. And Paul was so scared. The true worker of God are very skillful when people try to worship him, when people try to become his fan. It's so careful, so fearful. So what did Paul do? Paul tear down the cross, torn down the cross, and jump into them. Say, I'm nothing but human being. So in the church, especially in True Jesus Church, don't say I belong to Paul. Don't say I don't belong to Apollo. Don't become the fan of anybody. We only to be fan of Jesus Christ. Of course, the worker of God, we have to respect them because they are used by God. We have to respect them. But when we respect them, doesn't mean we worship them. We follow them. We follow Jesus Christ. We are not following any human being. So it's very, very important. So in the book of Jeremiah chapter 7, talk about they even bring the sacrifice. Which that kind of sacrifice actually is offending God in the temple of God, in the book of Ezekiel. So we come to the church not to worship anybody, to worship Jesus Christ alone. Only Jesus Christ can be glorified. No human being, no worker should be glorified. So we human beings are so weak, we are so easy to fall in the same weakness. So chapter 7 of Ezekiel, we can see temple of God carries the name of God, and which is holy. So we have to transform ourselves before we go in there to worship God. And also, we should not bring the idol into the temple of God. If we worship idol in the temple of God, that commit a sin of abomination. No. So that's chapter 7. Now we look into chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 7. So he brought him to the door of the court. Verse 7, okay. Even the stork in the heaven knows her appointed time, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Here talk about the Israelite. They fail to know the judgment of the Lord. They fail to know the timing of God. You know, a lot of birds, they know the timing. So before the winter come, you can see a lot of birds start to flying southbound. In the springtime time, kind of the birds just fly to the northbound. So the birds know how to identify God's timing and make an adjustment for its survival. But the Israelites fail to understand God's timing, right? God's come, judgment is coming, but they fail to adjust themselves. Can you imagine if the birds don't fly out of the cold weather, when the snow comes, all of them will be dead, right? No. So God give them an instinct before the winter comes. And they have to migrate to somewhere. But the Israelites, they are chosen people of God. God can move them. God send the messenger, the prophet, to warn them, to remind them. But still, they cannot discern the timing and make an adjustment. It was very pitiful for that chosen people. So this is chapter 8, and then we look into the page E3. Number D, the prophet mourned for the people. Chapter 8, verse 18. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. And verse 19. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with your curved images with foreign idols? Here talk about a term, provoke me. Why God's people provoke God to anger? How to provoke God to anger? With their curved image and foreign idol. When we look into the Bible, the interaction between man and God, there are positive side, and there are also negative side, right? Positive side, God said, if you turn to me, I will turn to you. And this is a very positive promise. Even though we are nothing, we mentioned that yesterday already. Have you ever paid attention to an ant? No, right? When you see an ant, what are you going to do? Kill it, right? Without my consent, how can you come to my table? Kill it. Right? When you see a mosquito, what do you do? Kill it. Right? The mosquito probably have malaria inside. Right? When you see a fly, what? Kill it. Right? Fly probably carry a lot of germs. Right? When a fly stop, just briefly, half a second stop on the bowl of rice, are you going to eat that? Oh, right, you don't want to eat that, right? You kill it. Oh. But let us think about, when God look at us, did God say, kill it? Did God say so? God did not say so, right? From the spiritual perspective, probably we are worse than an ant. We are worse than a mosquito. Oh, we are worse than a fly. How come we are worse? You know how John the Baptist did talk about those who come on to accept the baptism. You brood of viper, right? If today the evangelical service, the preacher said, you brood of vipers, everybody gone, all right? Oh. And that group of people did not leave, right? And when John the Baptist said, you are viper, he said, yeah, you are right, I'm viper. Hi, because inside me there's a poison. What is poison? The sin I committed. So help me to remove the poison, otherwise I'm going to die. Remove my sin, otherwise I'm going to die spiritually, right? So in the eyes of God, we are like a snake, a viper, serpent, all different kind of terms to describe us. If you see a cobra, what are you going to do? Either run away or kill it, all right? If you cannot hit it, then very possible you have no second chance. So run away. But you are very confident, right? Hit it. But from God's point of view, God did not kill us. Why? Because God loves us. God loves us, right? So God did not kill us. So this is the positive side. Return to God, God will return to us. But from the negative side, when people refuse to return, there are two terms to describe these kind of people. The first term is to provoke God. Provoke God. What does that mean? Original God don't want to do anything, right? But because you continue to worship the idol, you provoke him. You provoke him to anger, and then the punishment is coming. So this is called provoke. God uses active action to deal with our abomination. That means provoke. So you just keep quiet, don't worship the idol properly, God will never get angry, right? But if you purposely offer the idol, especially in the temple of God, you provoke God to death, right? To get angry, right? This is the first turn. The second turn the Bible uses is give up. In the book of Romans, in three places, the Bible says God give up. Because the Israelites, they continue to sin, and don't want to repent, so God give it up. Give up means what? Whatever you do, you just do it. I don't care. One day, your parents keep on reminding you, you still don't want to change, right? And your parents keep angry, you still don't care. And to reach a certain degree, your parents just give up. Whatever you want to do, just do it, right? You want to play the game until morning, fine. Everything is fine, right? Give up. When the parents give it up, then woe to you, right? So when God give up, then woe to us. So, from the negative side, talk about our relationship with God. One is provoke God to take positive action, immediate action, retribute action to punish us. The second is God give up. You do anything sin, nothing going to happen. Nothing is going to happen doesn't mean God allow it, doesn't mean God like it, but God already give it up. And what is going to happen? In the final judgment, everything will bring into accountable. So either way, it's not good at all. So here say God provoked God to anger. Now we look into the next point, chapter 8, verse 21. For the hurt of my daughter, of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning, astonishment has taken hold of me. Hurt of my daughter, of my people, I am hurt. I have three daughters. I have this kind of feeling, right? Hurt of my daughter, I'm also hurt. So it's good to have a experience of being a parent. You know, what do you feel when you have love? When your children suffer, then you suffer too. When your children sick, even though you are not sick, but that kind of sickness burden you in your heart. So because of love, almost we are connected with our children. So the prophet, because the prophet loved the people, so when the prophet know that the impending judgment is coming, that kind of hurt cut into the heart of the prophet. So if we want to serve God, this kind of love is very important. Without love, serving God, we only serve God in formality. Without love, serving God, that kind of servitude cannot be effective because God is not there. If God is there, you must have a feeling. If you have no feeling, means God is not there. If God is not there, you pray a lot, no use, because God is not there. Also, when we want to pray for others, that God to fill up about our heart to have love, so we can feel the pain, the longing, the sadness, the depression of the one we are praying for. If we have that kind of feeling, that means we have love. If we have love, means God is inside us, then our prayer will become very effective. So what we are afraid of the most is our servitude only have the outer appearance without inner feeling. That we are afraid the most. Everything go mechanically. So nowadays the youth are very good in planning, flawlessly. All the program go seamlessly and going well. But you look into it, it seems something is lacking. How come something is not lacking? No, right? He will do everything from the heart of God, God's love, and God will walk with us, and then we can feel the pain of the one who suffer. There was a brother who went to visit a patient in the hospital always. And then one day he prayed to God when he was visiting a brother. He prayed to God, God, please let me feel the pain of the brother I'm praying for. He would pray very hard. And all of a sudden he felt the one who lying down there actually was himself. And so he can feel that kind of pain. When he was able to feel that kind of pain, his prayer became very fervent. And after the prayer, and that brother said, oh, thank you, you pray for me. Right now I feel very good. My symptoms have been released. And this is a true testimony. So in NYTS, if we pray for anybody, first pray to God, give me a loving heart, so we can feel the feeling of the one we are praying for. And that prayer will be very powerful. Also, chapter 8, verse 21, the one who hurt, I'm hurt too. Now we look into verse 25. Oh, that should be chapter 9. Chapter 9, that will be next section. Now come back to point D. Number 3, the Lord refined his own people to purify their sin. So sometimes difficulty is to refine us so we can become purer than before. It's not the punishment. Sometimes it's just try to refine us. So a lot of times, if we want to serve God, we have to go through a process of refinement. So if we look from this perspective, during the time of refinement, we gone through the difficulties, still we should be very thankful. In the book of Lamentation, it talk about when we carry the yoke in our youth is a good thing. If you are in a young stage, when we are young, we enjoy all the good things. On the one hand, it's a blessing, but on the other hand, all our life enjoy a lot of good things, never suffer, it's probably not good. When we suffer, it make us to become more mature. Because when we suffer, it will help us to think a lot. It will help us to grow spiritually. So suffering is a way of God's blessing in certain degree. Let's pray in silence.